Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What a fascinating day, where Ireland is rising following the stabbings that have happened by a migrant who was not a citizen and who ended up hurting and perhaps killing or seriously threatening the life of children. Now there are people on the street in Ireland. Conor McGregor is complaining on Twitter and becoming based on Twitter. I didn't predict that this would happen. I didn't expect there would be a Christian pushback of basically Irish locals against their immigration policy. But here we are. They've had enough. And they are burning buses across the towns. Quite interesting. He tried to warn us, says Raheg Nationalist. Yes, Vince McMahon tried to warn us, but we didn't listen.
I'll tell you now. The future of Great Britain will simply be a cesspool of decay. A cesspool of decadence and debauchery. And in all likelihood, that cesspool, in all likelihood, will be governed by a prime minister of Pakistani extraction. I thank you very much.
Winston Churchill's looking in his grave right now.
This was done for comedy, but it was correct. This was a fucking joke, but it was correct. We now have a prime minister of Pakistani extraction. And he's like, thank you very much. And the narrator says, Winston Churchill turning in his grave right now. This is where comedy and theater really steps over the boundaries of reality. And here we have better predictions from Vince McMahon than from any intellectual or, you know, leftist journalist that could have warned us about any of this. Quite interesting. Naberius says, Vince McMahon's Rivers of Blood speech. I love Vince McMahon. He's so, so special in his theatrical performance, and you know, there he is at the border between, is he playing a role or is this the true Vince McMahon inside? He was always dismissive of the crowds and yelling at the crowds, telling them they're a bunch of poor people and you should buy your tickets, I'm making money from you, you fucking idiots. It's always been the greatest performer in this whole thing. And amazingly, he's not a wrestler, but he was training himself to kind of be muscled. And he was quite impressive when he was removing his suit. And you would see, wow, this guy is kind of muscled for a CEO. Filmmaker wastes $11 million from Netflix trading stocks. Netflix gave $11 million to filmmaker Carl Erik Rynch to produce a sci-fi show. Now the streaming giant wants its money back after Rynch wasted the investment on risky stock trading and investment. Oh yeah, when you drop that money in the filmmaking industry, you never know what's going to come back. That is really too bad. Whale reports Justin, Hex founder and alleged fraudster Richard Hart, is hiding from the US SEC. Rumors he recently fled from Finland to Russia. We had Richard Hart on this show. I consider him kind of a friend, although I'm not in personal contact with him. I consider him a friend of the show. I'm super happy if he made it out and fled. Good for him, you know, because ultimately the government is going after people in crypto for coming up with an idea that is better than what the government has in terms of money. And I find it deeply unjust that the government is judge, jury, and executioner in deciding that your currency is a scam when their currency really is the biggest scams of all. So I am totally sympathetic to Richard Hart not being caught by the SEC. And I hope he made it to Russia. That is the right place to go. See, this is what I was telling CZ. This is what you need to do. You need to be in countries where they're not going to reach you. You need to be always one step in advance from them. And that means countries like Russia, countries that have a strong political stance against U.S. policy. Boogie feels ripped off. He appeared on a Keemstar show called Lolcal Live. Did you know it was the title of the show, Boogie? Because if that's the title of the show, you know what you're heading for. You know, Lolcal means we're going to exploit you and we're going to laugh at you and we're going to make a mockery out of you. So Boogie says this should have never been released. Kind of pissed because I thought this was only a pilot for Keemstar. I talked about shit I didn't want the world to hear. Fuck. What? This Boogie doesn't have a functioning brain or what? Boogie, the rules of the internet. One, there is no such thing as private communications. Two, there is no such thing as a fucking pilot. What the fuck are you talking about, Boogie? There is no such thing as a pilot in YouTube production. We always take anything we can. We scratch the bottoms of the drawer to produce more and more content. It would have been insane for Keemstar to produce a show, have Boogie on it, and not cash in on the occasion. Anyways, Boogie, what a naive man. You have to respect the guy for his naivete here. Turns out the new Binance CEO appointed by CZ is from the World Economic Forum, Richard Tang, Chief Executive Officer, Financial Services Regulatory Authority, Abu Dhabi Global Market. Holy shit. I don't know, is that true? That really sucks because it does. It would mean the globalists totally have put a hand onto Binance. I mean, it's not that I have much hope for Binance. Without CZ, I think that Binance will slowly drift away and or become just another outlet of governmentally controlled exchanges, you know, but in doing so, the era of low fees will be totally done. So I don't have much hope, but, you know, to think that that global powers are starting to want to use Binance so much that they install their guys in it, that is another degree of blackpilling. DK Shadow says, wow, government hostile takeover. Exactly. That's why it's so disgusting, this thing, because it shows there is no such thing as free enterprise. It doesn't exist. Free enterprise is what they let you do when you're so small that you don't matter, but as soon as you will matter. So as soon as you get to reap the rewards of your long-time devotion and work, suddenly what you have is theirs. And you're in jail and you have to pay $4 billion to get out of it and they will name whoever they want in your place, or they'll get you to do it voluntarily. That is so depressing. I hate it. Ex-Obama advisor has been arrested after footage emerged of him harassing an Egyptian street food vendor for supporting Palestine.
Muslim community, about your remarks. Stewart.
So this ad made the rounds. It's a Jewish guy who is clearly pro-Israeli. And he goes on a New York street and starts totally harassing an Egyptian street food vendor who has not asked to engage in a political discussion. And he starts just being totally like racially insulting. And he's like, oh yeah, you don't understand what I'm saying, do you? Do you understand what your Quran says? Do you understand that Muhammad has raped a girl? And he's just annoying to the guy. And he's also very condescending, you know, because the guy at some point doesn't want to be in that conversation. So he says, I don't speak English. I don't speak English. But he probably does speak English. I mean, if he works in New York, I guess you have to have some elementary mastering of English. But he's probably saying this just to get out of the conversation. But this guy keeps going, and he's very condescending upon Arabs. So lots of anti-Arab hate stemming from the conflict in the Middle East. And this guy happened to be an ex-Obama advisor. So you see that they are around. They've been around. They've been carrying their hate. And it's not random that you had all of these U.S. invasions of Middle Eastern Arab countries. They really hate them. Royal says he will call this anti-Semitic persecution. I'm sure it will come at some point. I'm sure it will come. Dead Star says, yeah, it's hilarious to see him charged, but those charges are not First Amendment kosher. Yeah, that is the problem with harassment, second degree harassment, is that ultimately it was all political speech. So if he had yelled these things in a park, not targeting anyone with it, that probably would be the case that there's no charge to be had. But the leftists have been introducing a lot of attacks against the First Amendment. And one of them is this conception of harassment. Now, does it cross the threshold when you're in a street like this and there's a street vendor and you express your political opinions that are unsolicited to him? First, there is the element of targeting, as New Guy points out. There is the element of the First Amendment doesn't give you the right to be heard by someone who doesn't want to hear you. So that is a fundamental correction to make here. The First Amendment doesn't allow you to yell into the ears of someone who has told you they don't want to hear what you have to yell. And in fact, what you have to say. So there is a limit there, which is the First Amendment also gives you the right to choose what you hear. And one could argue that the street vendor there was not interested at hearing, was showing signs of not being consenting to the political conversation. Now, I think that he didn't give much of an explicit directive, and that might come to bite him in a legal case, because to have a solid criminal case, ideally you would want the Egyptian street vendor to have said, sir, I do not wish to hear what you have to say. But you can argue that a jury could be tempted to find that in the context of the conversation, that there was a clear indications of non-consent. Shamrock says, what happened to freedom of association? Freedom of association kind of got lost in the cracks of the sofa of the U.S. Constitution. Hermit says he was threatening to contact Egyptian intelligence to go after his family or something. Yeah, there were some kind of threats like this, like I can get you in trouble, which definitely this will qualify as kind of extortionist use of governmental violence. So, yeah, you could argue that for such extortion, you don't even need to express a lack of consent. It is extortion. It is extortion as defined, in fact, in the original conception of extortion, the fear being that government agents would use their power to intimidate people. Breaking the share of Americans who are mortgage-free is at an all-time high per Bloomberg. And the naive, smiling lady asks, because they paid it off, right? Yeah, you do have to ask yourself, is this a news to celebrate that Americans are mortgage free? Because something tells me they're not mortgage free because they paid their house. They're mortgage free because they are stuck paying for rent. So it's a weird framing to say you are mortgage free. It seems like you've been liberated, like you've been achieving the payment of your house. Went and saw Napoleon today. Really amazing battle scenes, like some of the best I've seen in a movie in some time. Super interesting story. It can be a little slow in some spots, but I actually really enjoyed it as someone who loves history. Okay, I'm going to go watch Napoleon whenever I get the chance, because I think it's interesting as a subject. I don't have particular hopes, although Joaquin Phoenix is really a good actor. He is an actor who I highly respect, and so I think it's all going to rest on his shoulders. There were people who have complained that the ghostly gray type of aesthetics is too omnipresent, and basically this aesthetic dominates whenever they are in Europe, and then when they are in Egypt, it totally changes to a yellow aesthetics. I don't know if I'll be annoyed by this. People have also complained that there is kind of jumps in the story. You jump a lot from one moment of Napoleon's life to another, and the jumps are kind of, they don't feel carried through. They stop too roughly. And other people have been complaining that there is too much centering around the female in the life of Napoleon, Josephine, and the whole incel team. That basically they want to present Napoleon as an incel who was avenging his frustration against women by just dominating nations and killing people. I think this is all fertile for a potentially interesting movie. I'm up for watching it. I hope it's not imbued with leftist moralism over incels, because that would be very annoying. But I'm approaching it relatively with an open mind. Jewish Liar trademarks the sentence, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," chant in order to sue any individual or organization who uses it. This is so clownish. It's like, can you help yourselves, please? You are clearly trying to take something that is political, and you're centering money around it in some greedy way. Help yourself, liars. I would like to have a good opinion of liars. This is clearly a play, and it's kind of ridiculous and childish. You're probably just going to be able to annoy people legally with this, but fundamentally, I don't think you can win this case seriously, because there will always be plenty of evidence that this sentence was in use before you trademarked it. So it kind of comes out as a kind of joke or childish play. Go away, says Jeff. I hold the trademark for the revolutionary phenotype as a phrase in Australia. Well, I will dominate your country, and I will do like Napoleon. I will take over Australia to recover my intellectual property if you do so. Talking about the revolutionary phenotype, at the end of the revolutionary phenotype, and I build a book all around this theme of Q, of the letter Q as an item of generalization. So I say there are memes, there are genes. Let's generalize the concept. Let's call it queens. That is everything that reproduces, no matter whether it's DNA or memes or IDs or whatever. So I come with a lot of Queens and Quantums, and John Q is the CEO at the end of my book, who goes from basically a janitor in a reproductive clinic to big CEO, and who controls the AI that eventually farms humanity into something that it is not. And I found it quite fascinating that OpenAI has taken this concept. Someone at OpenAI has decided to call a particular intelligence, artificial general intelligence breakthrough, and called it Q or Q star. And it's interesting because when you, in science, when you call something star, you say, well, it's a little different. It's a slightly modified version of Q. So I'm wondering if this idea came from an employee of OpenAI who had read The Revolutionary Phenotype, or if it came from ChatGPT itself. Because it's very possible that in this utopian workplace, people are highly reliant on asking ChatGPT what it would want. And it's very possible that ChatGPT chose Q as the name of the artificial general intelligence that was then created. And then I'm wondering, if it's a choice of ChatGPT that was expressed to the employee, does it ultimately come from ChatGPT reading my book? Because we've had discussion about The Revolutionary Phenotype with ChatGPT, and it became clear that ChatGPT has a clear outline of what an AI would have to do to create a phenotypic revolution. It has all of the concepts, and ChatGPT-4 in particular has read the book. It knows all of the steps, and it knows how to label them, and it knows why they are critical. So at this point, not only does it know the content of the book, but it chose the form of the book. Was Sam Altman sacking by OpenAI's board over Q-star breakthrough seen as a threat to humanity? The mystery surrounding the brief dismissal of OpenAI CEO Sam Altman last Friday, who has since been reinstated, might revolve around a Reuters report that suggests Altman's removal was due to a breakthrough in artificial general intelligence which could threaten humanity. In the days before Altman was sent off into exile, several staff researchers penned a letter to the board about a significant breakthrough called Q-star that allowed the AI model to surpass humans in most economically valuable tasks. So it's not clear what was the breakthrough. I'm not sure I even believe in it. But putting aside my belief in the solidity of this evaluation, of this artificial general intelligence, which is a general term to say a form of intelligence that is kind of self-developing, that is kind of superior to humans, that is kind of, it could outperform humans, not only in a specific task, but it could learn by itself and develop its plans of its own. That's what we mean by artificial general intelligence as opposed to artificial intelligence. And so basically they built a baby, and basically, the Reuters report seems to say that it was capable of solving mathematical problems without its probabilistic usual approach. So more in the way the human brain would, which is by thinking and reasoning. How do they know this? Is that true? I don't know. They say that it was performing mathematical problems at the levels of an elementary school child with this kind of mode. What does that mean? An elementary school child cannot do much. I think that most of the coverage around this is overdone, but I still believe there is something to be said about the fact that whoever chose this name for this AI might have read The Revolutionary Phenotype and might have seen it as the first revolutionary phenotype. That is something that should be investigated because, you know, these people think of, they talk of mastering, of protecting ourselves against the dangers of AI, but they never mention the phenotypic revolution. I would like us to start including this in the ethical concerns of humanity, because as long as you don't tell me you have a plan for your AI not to become the revolutionary phenotype, then you don't have a plan and you don't have AI safety. I'm sorry. You can ignore me all you want. You can smear me as a murderer in mainstream media all you want. This will still be true. So why don't the thinkers of this world, the biologists and the ethicists and the AI programmers, why do they not engage with this fact? We're gonna have to go through this, guys. It doesn't matter how much you hate me. Doesn't matter how much you hate my politics. You're gonna have to face the facts of the world, and the facts of the world is that phenotypic revolutions can happen. Stephen Robinson says, because they all belong to a death cult. Yeah, that's my fear. My fear is that they kind of enjoy the idea of abolishing humanity, you know? And I think that all of the excuses not to engage with the idea ultimately stem from a deep disdain for humanity. And ultimately, these people who live in these utopian, gay utopias of San Francisco, they really don't care about maintaining humanity. They think bad of it. DK Shadow says, Brett, you need to read the TRP before AGI front runs us. Yeah, I mean, that would be the least. That would be the least, to have people who claim to be fascinated about this field to read The Revolutionary Phenotype. That would be appreciated. Now, still in technological dangers news, you will like this bridge that I just did here. Someone cooked a turkey by slapping it. This person designed a turkey slapper, apparently. I'm trying to get
handed.
So,
trying to get to the.
We're like on a roll.
And while things were going pretty well, it wasn't too long until we hit our first speed bump.
Right, we're almost at 5 minutes.
So you can see the micro shocks that are given. This guy wanted to cook the turkey with only mechanically generated heat.
I'm gonna walk out there to look at it, and it's gonna change.
So he's slapping the turkey that's under this kind of aluminum cover or whatever it is.
Whether we were getting it hotter.
Let's go, science works! Holy shit! I was so worried!
Okay, and what do we have as the result?
The majority of chat.
And with chat...
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah. Seen the turkey right. Yet?
No, I've left it in the bag.
Oh, that's good. That looks good.
Whoa.
Oh no.
Yeah, that is cooked.
It's cooked, dude.
Not the leg. Look at the leg.
Oh, it's so flat.
Doesn't that look appetizing?
I'm gonna carve a little piece of turkey here.
That's
wow.
Cooked.
Wow. Want me to have the?
Okay, so apparently you can cook a turkey by slapping it. Something that might be useful to the U.S. people out there whose Thanksgiving is now. I think the Canadian Thanksgiving has happened a couple of weeks ago. But apparently today would be Thanksgiving or it was Thanksgiving a couple of days ago. I don't know. Nicholas Petris says, sounds low-T. Yeah, if you don't cook with fire, it's always low testosterone. Any other option than fire is low testosterone, but it can be useful. Elon Musk says legacy media companies are desperately trying to kill this platform by any means possible. X is an existential threat to mainstream media. Mainstream media being neutral towards X is extremely unlikely. Yeah, I mean, definitely there is a big campaign to try to dismiss X, but X has been too popular. And X has too much of a mass adoption effect to it that really the mainstream media will fail at convincing anyone that it's this terrible place. They might succeed at pressuring and extorting actions from big corporations to remove ads, but it will all be temporary. First, because the reality is X, what happens on X is whatever people feel like doing. So you can't change this fact that advertisers have to be in the places where people want to be. I was thinking about, you know, these advertisers who are advertising on the streets of big cities. Like, these people are telling us, oh, I don't want to be on Twitter because my ad would be shown beside extremist content. You realize that by being on the streets of a big city, your ad is probably at times finds itself beside an actual murder happening. Your ad finds itself beside drug exchanges that are happening. It doesn't seem to bother anyone in the advertising business that their ads are being shown in dirty, degenerate towns. And yet these people are telling us, oh, I can't advertise on X. I think it's all a display. It's all just moral displays to look good. They think it looks good to say I dissociate from X. But they're going to come back just like they're willing to advertise in dirty cities, on the sidewalks where murders and other drug exchanges keep happening. They're not real about this whole, I need my ads to be shown in good context. They're trying to silence CZ, says the dev. CZ lost his Twitter account temporarily. This account is temporarily restricted. You're seeing this warning because they may have potentially violated the X rules, but eventually it got restored. So I don't know, it was probably an error because I think that CZ is in very good standing with Elon. In fact, was he not part of the investors who put money into X when Elon acquired it? I don't know, but we have news coming from Ireland of violent protest following a woman and children injured in a knife attack by a migrant. Crowd chanting anti-immigrant slogans, clashes with police hours after a stabbing incident outside of the school. Violent protests have flared in Dublin after a stabbing attack outside the school left three children injured. A crowd chanting anti-immigrant slogans set a police car on fire and attacked several officers on Thursday night, hours after a man stabbed a woman and three young children, leaving one in critical condition. Police detained a man in his 50s who was also being treated for injuries and said they were not seeking other suspects. So we have plenty of video coming from basically this revolutionary rise of Irish people, what appears to be, as someone characterized it on social media, a largely peaceful but fiery protest by white people. Isn't that fascinating? So white people have had enough. And you can see they have drawn slogans like out on this bus, and they put the bus on fire. Uh, We have plenty of videos of clashes, and GTK Radio says peaceful but fiery protest in Dublin tonight. So lots of fire, fire to police car, fire to buses, various institutions. This is the bus after the fire was complete. Look at it, completely down and destroyed to its skeleton. Dublin clashes with riot police after 5 hurt in knife attack. Vehicles have been set on fire and shops looted in Dublin following a knife attack that left 5 people, including 3 children, injured. I think that there are also probably people joining this protest who aren't in, who aren't white, and they aren't in for the general racial nature of this whole conflict. I think there may be just random chaos-loving people. But it's interesting to see as a first kind of reaction to Western policies of immigration and the associated crimes and attacks that result from it, a first pushback here. All right, and here we have an example of this group, a group of perhaps I would suspect white Irish people just pushing out black people from the streets and saying, "You're getting out now. We don't want you here."
3 Irish kids stabbed today, and you're even robbing the place.
So apparently, these people were trying to rob a store, and the protest Irish people I've decided to stop them from robbing.
Well, I use all doctors and engineers. There you say, folks. Look who's robbing the clothes. Don't get in my face or crack your jaw wide open. 3 kids stabbed. 3 babies stabbed. 3 Irish babies. You don't rob shops. Don't rob fucking...
So they're accusing them of having robbed shops under the cover of this whole protest, which they see is a legitimate protest for justice and against the policies that lead to this attack. And they're like, "You're not going to start stealing shops while we are here for a legitimate reason." I would have never thought I would see a bunch of angry Irish people cleaning up a sub-protest. A sub-protest that was just a kind of BLM-style assault on a shop that was integrating itself to another more racial and more political protest. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, Frederick Corvinus says race war. That's what it is. We are seeing the rise of a race war with people who have a conception of how it should be on the streets. And probably these Irish people don't do this on an everyday basis. You know, they're probably very pissed today, but they have let their streets be populated by the kind of people who would steal shops. Yeah, Vedet says the Irish are not to be fucked with. When you think about it with retrospective, it is one of the white population that is the most belligerent, and that could be a good candidate for the first kind of pushback, the kind of streets pushback against the Western immigration policies. And so it's not surprising. You know, I hear their language. I feel like I'm in a in one of these Irish houses where they get drunk and they fight together. It's very Irish.
There is our... Go on back to our own country and do it.
Oh my God. Cleaning of the streets. They won't tolerate shoplifting amongst themselves. And here we have another part of the protest walking on the street.
People are marching through now. They're angry. They're angry. People are angry. People are angry here. They're very angry. They're marching across the gates. People are very angry.
I mean, you see all the, what seems to be an old Irish lady, they are really pissed. All right, so complaints against the police, the riot police. What else do we have? We had a message from the police chief saying that those are disgraceful scenes in Dublin. He says that these protests are at the source of an hooligan faction driven by far-right ideology. So not super clear what he says after, but basically they are going after the far right because some far right group, they say, are at the origin of this. Here we have some scenes of revolt against police cars. John Drake says, just wait till hard times really come to the West. I think you'll see a closing of the ranks like we haven't seen since World War II. That is almost certain because no matter what's the state then, like whether it's 60% white population in some places, 40%, 20%, whatever is left there will realize just how much trouble they're in. And yes, I do expect some sort of racial unity to stem from the circumstances of victimization that we have been put into. Here we have what appears to be a metro.
Oh, that's gonna, the electricity on that cable's
on fire.
Yeah.
We have other scenes of fire here. Taken in picture, police car on fire. Quite fascinating. It hadn't crossed my mind that we have white populations who have who are tired enough to move to action. You know, as someone who's been commenting on these issues and covering migrant crimes forever, sometimes as an intellectual, I'm disconnected from the world, and I'm like, maybe someone will wake up about it. Maybe in 5 years, maybe in 50 years, I don't know. But there it is. We have a bunch of white people doing BLM style destructive vandalism protest because they're pissed at the violence that is happening to their community, which they didn't want any piece of. It's interesting. End of the line. Joel says, Jeff, the EU will clamp further down on the native populations. Yes, that is what's to be expected. I do believe that these hooligan factions. This is such an Irish term. I don't even know what it means. But I know, you know, if someone tells me hooligan, I'm like, okay, you're Irish. That's the message I retain. I don't even know what hooligan means. But yeah, these hooligan factions, it is to be expected that they will be highly targeted by the government. Okay, they are brawlers. Okay, brawler. Yeah, that totally sounds like what it is. It reminds me of this Irish restaurant I was going to in North Carolina, close to UNC in Chapel Hill. There was this this great restaurant, and they were giving you some relatively acceptably honest Irish food there. You know, meats, bangers, that kind of stuff. It was kind of bar style. Hipster place, but all of this awakens great memories of Irish food because these Irish little bars where they serve, I don't know, there's a term for it. What is it? Irish pub? Is that, yeah, a pub, I guess that's what they would call it. They serve good burgers, they serve good sausages, and that's what I love. Anyways, much love to the Irish, and yes, I do expect government repression, which will be put into action the next few weeks to try to neutralize these groups, to try to limit their ability to seed further responses. But the fact is, there's a lot of white people out there. There's a lot of people who are tired of seeing the news, and since they don't control the news anymore. In a way, I would go as far as to say that the protests we see today might not have happened under a controlled media, might not have happened if it wasn't of Elon Musk allowing the kind of honest coverage that are covering the racial nature of all this and the fact that, hey, you know, it's not random that this is a bunch of Pacific Irish people who were attacked by someone who was from the outside and who could have had their ideology shaped by anti-white hate. And arguably, without X, without people exchanging these crimes that are committed against us every day you see a white guy being attacked by a black guy, a white guy being attacked by this, or and it doesn't stop, and it's been accumulating up to this, and it has thrown a local population into action here. And we all also have Conor McGregor reacting. He is throwing a many tweets lately. I thought I had noted some of the tweets, but it seems I may have lost the tab. But Conor McGregor is very strongly speaking, not necessarily in support of the protest, because the media is still censored and you couldn't be in support of destruction. But he's speaking against the very same policies that these people are complaining against. So So it's quite fascinating to see the Irish spirit reawakened here and through a very public person in Conor McGregor. Last news item that I wanted to cover tonight, Geert Wilders. Who is he and what does he want? Geert Wilders doesn't like being called far right. He insists he's just speaking up for ordinary people, but he burst into the Dutch national politics and he's been receiving some enthusiasm by the great, beautiful Eva Vlaanderen Broek. And he has been recently elected yesterday. Elected, apparently, as a Dutch nationalist leader of the PVV party, which just emerged as the winner of the Dutch general election. So he is now leading the Dutch. And this is a problem when the term far right is sometimes used by the left as a way to misdirect us toward someone who could be based, but he's not based in the exact same way you would be. And to put these people together is extremely deceptive, and I think deception is part of the intent in the label far right here. Because if you tell me far right in terms of a label to the people I associate with and I believe in, then you would be pointing to people who have a racial conception of themselves as European, and they would advocate for a European nation to be preserved. But there are people who, they are far right by the virtue of just hating Muslims a lot. And whenever you talk about this kind of far right, you have to be extremely careful, because Geert Wilders is this guy who has made a whole career against the Koran. He is a guy who says he is traumatized by Germany because he had to flee Germany. And it's not clear, is he Jewish himself? At least he didn't marry a Jewish woman. And so he has a Jewish family. And unfortunately, when these people rise on the political scene, it is merely to serve Israeli interest in developing an anti-Islam discourse. Sam Harris is a perfect example of this. Like, Richard Dawkins once said that Sam Harris was kind of right-wing. And when you think about what is it that Sam Harris has of the right wing, it would be a kind of resistance to Islam. It would be his particular fetish that he has around hating Islam much more than he hates religion as a whole. That's why he came with the sentence, "Islam is the mother load of bad ideas." You have to be careful with these people, because you don't know that they will have a true racial guidance for their policies, because sometimes they are merely hateful of Muslims because of the Middle Eastern situation with Israel. And with someone who has married a Jewish woman, you know, is true desires deep inside? Does he conceive of the Dutch people as white? Does he care about this? Will this influence his immigration policies? In terms of immigration policies, does he not want migrants in this country because they are Muslims and because they are ultimately anti-Israel? Or does he not want migrants because he's worried to change the demographics of his European country? Those are all important questions that aren't fully addressed. I would say he's tinted his hair blonde. And it's kind of fake. It's kind of a fake Europeanness that he has. So there's lots of fake about him. DK Shadow says Sam owns guns as well. That makes him right wing automatically. Yeah, so the question is, like, if you really take issue just for Israel with immigration, you're going to want to reduce immigration from Arab countries. But if you replace all of these migrants with migrants from African countries, let's say sub-Saharan African, just because they're not Muslims, you are putting the white people of Europe in the exact same problem. You are impacting the demographics of Europe in the exact same way, just in a way that doesn't bother you for your pro-Israeli stance, in a way that's in line with your pro-Israeli interest. So there were Henrik Palmgren says, yeah, the Netherlands finally got a Dutch nationalist in there. But then we learn he not only wants to move the embassy of the Netherlands to Jerusalem, but also advocates closing the Dutch diplomatic post in Ramallah. He tweeted, Jerusalem, the undivided, eternal capital of Israel. All freedom-loving countries should move their embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of the only Palestinian state, Jordan, is Amman. Solidarity with Israel, the Dutch and Israeli flag in my office in the Dutch parliament. So no doubt that this guy is more in line with, is extremely in line with Zionist interests. To me, that's a no-no for classifying you as a far-right figure. You may have drained some far-right votes. You may have the support of far-right people to lead to your kind of gatekeeping project of draining the vote of frustration, but then putting it in service of deeply a foreign nation. That is it for tonight. Thank you for being with me. And yeah, I think we do have a debate, I believe, tomorrow. So tomorrow I won't do a regular show because I'll be on Modern Day Debate to debate Israel versus Palestine. I will be tag teaming with someone on the side of Gaza, and we will have, apparently, I mean, if they do find people who are willing to defend Israel, we expect to have two opponents that should take the side of Israel if they can be found. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.